Welcome to round 11 of the $500,000 Nipandenso Supercross Series here in Tempe, Arizona. Right now we're standing at Sun Devil Stadium, where a crowd of over 50,000 people is expected to witness round 11 of this Supercross Series right here, all part of that big $100,000 Nipandenso Point Fund. My name is Greg Barbacovi, and along with David Stanfield, who's joining me right here, we're going to be describing all the action for you right here at Sun Devil Stadium. You know, I gotta say, Dave, that I've never really seen crowd reaction like we have here in Tempe. They've never witnessed a Supercross race here in this city before, and these people have gone hog wild over such little things as practice.
Oh, they like it. Press day was Friday. The pro riders came in on Thursday. Press day was Friday, and they really loved that show. But over at the Devil House, where the ASU University goes to drink some suds and cool off, you wouldn't believe what happened last night. A rider went through there at speed. Ricky Johnson. Let's take a look at some of that footage.
Again, I'm going to remind you that we have Rick Johnson, leader in National Supercross Racing Series. He's won on the motorcycle. We got through the freeway winner signing some autographs up here at the DJ booth.
RJ, anything to get into a dance hall without paying the cover price?
Hey, man, I'm definitely the tightest of all the motocross racers. If I can find a way to get my way into a bar without paying a cover charge, hey, I'll do it, you know? They said, Rick, we'll let you in free if you bring your bike down, so I brought the whole truck hoping I could get my mechanic in free, too.
He's sitting out on the tailgate just whining.
You know, Dave Stanfield, sometimes I think that Ricky Johnson will do anything to avoid paying a cover charge.
Well, he's going to have to pay a big price tonight. There's a lot of guys gunning for the win.
Well, before practice...
A Pulp MX Network production.
A series of the most exciting action imaginable.
Second fight ball for Ryan Filippone!
Dungy gets by for second!
Welcome to the Liat Re-Raceables on PulpMX.com. Mathis and Weed revisit the instant classics from yesteryear, spotlighting those historic moto moments that simply never grow old.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Liat Re-Raceables. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend, subscribe, all of that, Liat.com. Love these guys. You see the solitaire guys running Liat. You see a lot of teams out there running Liat. Chris Kiefer just did a big boot test, and the Liat Flexlot boot came up close to the top. So Liat.com, man, mountain bike stuff as well, motocross gear, they've got you covered. If you use the contact form at pulpmx.com, it goes to me, and then I'll give you a code to save at Liat.com website. So, yeah, whether it's mountain bike stuff, dirt bikes, boots, helmets, goggles, all of that, they can help you out. Thanks to the folks at Liat for coming on board this podcast, as well as Scott, Maxis, Guts, and Decal Works. We'll tell you more about them later on. But the Liat Re-Raceables, normally this is a podcast where we celebrate some great races and get a guest on and talk about great races. But we took a little turn this week. For reasons that you will hear in a little bit, to talk about Phoenix 86 Supercross. With me, the voice of the current Supercross generation, along with Lee Diffie, Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, no, for sure. we decided we wanted to do an 80s one to make fun of it, and we found maybe one of the lamest tracks in Supercross history, and I bet paves the way.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to this race. Also on the line, as usual, Seth Rarick. Hi, Seth Rowe.
How's it going, boys? I will say still the lamest track I've ever seen is Vegas 95. I'm still going there.
Really?
Yes. I think Vegas 95 is worse. One thing you're overlooking with Phoenix 86, yes, the track's atrocious, but it probably had something to do with the dune buggy race during intermission.
Oh, yeah. No, the dune buggies is why.
Is that an acceptable reason?
Yeah.
I think so, honestly. Oh. Without the dune buggies, this track would be better than Vegas 95.
Yeah, but the fact is you had the dune buggies, and it was, you know, bad. So, I don't know. This is the worst track in Supercross history. You've heard me say this 18 times. This is horrific, this track.
I said it one, and you immediately had a Phoenix 86 on the Rolodex. You must have real harsh feelings about this.
Yeah, this is an absolute terrible race. I've always said, like, you watch Anaheim 86 and 87, 88. This is the birth of modern Supercross to me. This is triples and quads and, you know, deep whoops. Like, watch Pasadena 85. The whoops are gnarly. This is when Supercross, to me, starts resembling less motocross and of the early 80s and resembles what we see now today in 2024. This track is not it, though. They went back because of the Doom Buggies. They went back to some horrific tracks. I don't know. And also this race production as well. This is Greg Barver Covey and David Stanfield Weege, who, you know, are 80s staples.
Yes, they are. Well, Barber Covey, I don't know who this dude is. He shows up in a lot of these. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No, I haven't. No, but he's in a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah. Normally it's kind of Huffman and David Stanfield, with Stanfield as like the pit reporter / expert analyst. I don't know why back in the day they could not come up with the concept of an ex-racer being part of the TV show. That was just too crazy. But then in this one, it's mostly Barber Covey doing all the announcing, and Stanfield is just in the pits doing interviews. And honestly, I think that's the only thing that makes this salvageable. Those parts are so bad, it actually makes this fun to watch.
Yeah.
Thanks to you guys. Thanks to you guys, I just learned who Barber Covey's name is, because there is not one graphic for the entire hour I've watched this race.
No
graphic.
If you are not listening or have there's also this thing as subtitles on YouTube, I guess, or subtitles back then. You just really have to listen and rewind and listen and hope and pray that you have the right names, because there's not one result posted.
No, it's a tough watch.
You don't even know who's in third. I think the entire time, was O'Mara getting third ever acknowledged at any point in the race?
You can see him jam past Leask.
Yeah, we're going to get into that later, but O'Mara and Leask had a fierce battle.
Mm-hmm. You should have known something was up with this Phoenix 86 race when they started the broadcast with saying the fans went hog wild watching
for press day.
It's the first year of the Phoenix Supercross, by the way, in the Tempe Stadium, which I was there with Birdwell in 97 and 98. We were still going to that same stadium from 86 to 98. And then they made three jokes about RJ not paying cover charge to bring his bike into a bar, and then we got the footage of RJ in a bar on his bike. Now that is gold. Like, I'd like to see Jason Anderson. Weege, if you could talk to Bondo or somebody, can we get Jason Anderson in a bar on Friday?
They were so proud of this
factory Cowie into the bar.
Yeah.
And they were so proud of this joke.
They're so proud of it.
Not pay the cover. They threw it to the thing talking about it. Then they interviewed Rick about not paying a cover charge. Yep. And then when they came out of it, they then again said,
yeah,
man, Rick Johnson was winning and not paying a cover charge.
I was like, got it, guys. Got it. No cover charge.
Does anyone think the dogger was in the bar too, just not with his bike?
100%.
Oh,
yeah. 100%.
I'm going to in the ladder laps.
You know what I personally enjoyed too, and it must have just been an old school saying, is there's now been two people in my entire life I've ever heard refer to beer as suds. My dad always called. He always said, I'm going to drink some suds. And I just thought it was just my dad saying that. And so my dad and David Stanfield both referred to beer as suds. So I just learned that must be an old school saying.
The generational thing. Yeah. Who knew?
Yep.
And they also
have some suds with RJ.
Yeah.
Suds with RJ. And then also, clearly they had been paid by the like local tourism board, because they sent their wild man camera guy out to basically shoot desert scenic shots and talk about the university town.
Yeah, they're really trying to prove that Arizona is not just a desert, not just a barren desert. You can actually go have fun in Arizona.
Yeah, the cover charge gets me. Like, they're like, hey, and then last night, Friday night, RJ will do anything to get out of a cover charge. He brought his dirt bike into a bar. Let's check it out. And then they show RJ riding up, and Stanfield goes, RJ, man, you'll do anything to get out of cover for a cover charge for a bar. And he's like, yeah, I'm one of the tightest motocrossers, so whatever it takes. And then they come out of it, and like we said, they go, man, he'll do anything to get away with paying a cover charge. It's like, It's like unbelievable. This is how it starts. This broadcast is 3 minutes in, and I'm going, holy shit. Like,
and they said 50,000. Well, at the beginning, he said 50,000 people will be in attendance. That was obviously inflated, right?
Yes. I don't believe that.
I don't think that stadium even held 50,000 at that time.
I'm going to Google capacity right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at it last night. It got renovated, so it does now. But there's no way.
Yeah.
It was renovated in like 2017 or something.
I don't know. I wouldn't pay $4 to watch this race if you had told me what was going to happen. Like, I just.
Yeah, so I've been playing right now, and this is Holland, and you can see the stands are, this is, at least for the heat race, is empty. Completely empty on the bottom row.
Boy.
Hey, speaking of talking about RJ being tight and this on the money subject, they said a few times about $100,000 points fund. That's for, they're talking about for the championship, right?
Yeah, at 86.
Not for the race.
No, yeah, 86 was a Nippon Denso series. So RJ.
Yes. Okay, so 100 grand for the title.
Yeah, RJ clinches the title at this race. You know, he'd never won a Supercross title. I think coming into 86, he'd maybe won, I don't know, 3 Supercrosses in his career. Did win a national championship. What changed for him, Weej? What changed for RJ, do you think, in 86?
Honda.
Oh, okay. Honda. Yeah. Honda.
and as I mentioned a few times, Lachine's still getting used to his new machine as he battled some personal issues during the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he was still battling personal issues as we watch this race.
Yeah. Dogger battled personal issues for years.
Yeah, what a legend.
He had a crappy 86. Because Weej, what changed for Lachine in 86?
Yeah, he's actually national number 2.
Yeah.
So he and Kawasaki technically has Ward, who's the best guy of 85, and Lachine, the second best guy of 85. Lachine, not good. Not on a Honda.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Honda. Okay, he left Honda and wasn't good, and then RJ went to Honda and was great?
And got good.
So the year before, so another thing for that's really vital for 86, this is the first year of the production rule. And obviously, Wardy won the year before, but I'm assuming the Works Cowie, I mean, how close, Honda was still the best bike, we all know that, but were, before the production rules in effect, were the other bikes at least closer to it? I mean, they had to be somewhat good, right, for Wardy to win on that thing.
The only thing that was close was the Kawasaki. And
so
when they
once they went to the production rule, yeah. Honda essentially had a bigger advantage.
Yes, exactly. And when Lachine went to sign with Kawasaki, they let him ride Wardy's 85 Works bike. And they said, like, hey, this is, you know, this will be like production bike, and it was, spoiler alert, it was not. So they did get better,
and
though.
I think the irony of that is that I believe, and we've talked about production all this show a million times, Seth, but I think the original goal was, oh, Honda with these super trick works bikes, they're winning too much. Once we go to production rules, that'll flatten that out. And actually, yes, their advantage got better.
So yeah, it just all it did was ramp it up.
yeah, it got even bigger. I think, like, we've had Wardy on this show, Weej, a few times, and he's so gnarly, and the fact that he was literally the only non-Honda rider to win championships from 84 to 97?
No, 82.
No, but oh, yeah, Bomber 182. Sorry, 83 to 97.
Yes. We did not realize this in all this time, all this historic work, looking into things. It only occurred to us, like, what, 2 years ago? That Jeff Ward was the only non-Honda Supercross champ in, like, a 15-year span.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, maybe we need to think of Wardy as even more gnarlier than what we already think of Wardy as, you know? Like,
true. And we started to question, like, how good are these actual Honda? All these guys are legends, right? From MC and JMB and Stanton and RJ and Bailey and Donnie Hansen and O'Mara. And then we're like, wait, did they just have a huge advantage? And we just don't want to do it. We just don't want to go there. We just don't want to discredit these legends. So we just are going to choose to not really overthink this.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. Absolutely. Lee at Reraceables. Thanks to the folks at Decal Works. Pulpmex 24 is the code to save with Decal Works. A Red Bull KTM guys using Decal Works, and yeah, they can do great custom stuff for you. Number plate backgrounds, custom graphics, all of that. Decal Works, decalmx.com. Pulpmex 24 is a code to save. Thank you to the folks at Scott Goggles as well. Scott has been providing the best goggle technology in all motorsports disciplines for over 50 years. Many of these re-raceable moments have been with riders that use Scott Goggles, and they're excited to relive the iconic moments with you guys. Scott, the only goggle made in the USA. Thank you to Scott as well. Seth, I always make this joke on this pod. How about that tabletop before the right-hand corner that just like no one could clear? Just can't clear it. Just bounce and then turn.
Well, to be fair, I have a plane right now. This is the third or fourth time I've watched this race. Cause I was quizzing you guys all day on old names. Cause this is a bit before my real knowledge kicks in. So I'm kind of in awe watching this, and I can't say I blame them for not jumping that table, because if you try jumping it and getting to the inside, the main line, you are immediately tucking the front end. I mean, there's no chance that you're not crashing. So to jump that table and go outside, you're going about 50 feet wider than everyone else. So yeah, the track is pretty atrocious. But another thing with the track too is I don't remember which commentator it was. I think it was Stanfield said, yeah, some of the riders are complaining that this track is not technical enough, which I agree, but I'm also laughing that here we are in 2024 and you got riders complaining weekly about the tracks. They're not this, they're not that, they're too this, they're too that. So that's just never going to change till the end of time.
I'd love to see Jet Lawrence on this track.
Well, that's kind of my next point is every week when riders complain about tracks, even if I agree with them, does it ever change the result? The best guys are always at the front. The mm-hmm. best guys always find their way to the front. So really, yes, they can complain and this and that, and this track's horrible, but RJ still wins. RJ wins the title. He's the best guy.
Bailey was on a roll coming into this, three wins in a row, which I kind of think of 86 as the RJ year, but when you look at the results, like Bailey just had a couple of bad races, but they were pretty equal, Weege.
Yeah, more so than I thought, especially, yeah, the beginning of the show, besides talking about RJ in the bar, they talk about Bailey having won the three in a row. And we've had a couple 86 races lately, and I feel like Bailey just sucked at starts a lot. And RJ wasn't a whole shot master. Like, every race would have some rando guy who you just knew wasn't going to win lead, kind of like this. Like, you, good job, but you're not going to beat RJ. But I saw too many races in 86 to be like, wait, was the whole difference just Bailey got bad starts a couple times and RJ did not?
It seems like it, right?
That definitely was the case here.
Yeah.
And how are you – okay, look, we've kind of mentioned that the Hondas are pretty good, and then half the field is just straight privateers anyway. How are you not getting good starts?
Yeah, it's kind of like Ricky at Washougal 99. How?
Yeah,
how we're just befuddled by this.
Hey, I'm a little confused, but what were the points coming in this? Because at the beginning of this race, Bailey was saying he needed to win and RJ needed to get fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But then he made it sound like it was that close. But then the race, Bailey obviously had a bad night, but he got ninth, RJ won. I understand, yes, that's a big points gap, but it was, yeah, he locks it up with one round to go. So did we ever get, again, there's no graphics anywhere on this footage, but does anyone know what the points gap was coming into this?
No, I could probably take a look here.
RJ said he had a 27-point lead when it was over, so I guess you could backdate the
math. Yeah, back do the math. But all I'm saying is Bailey and the commentators and everyone made it sound like it was – 1 point separating these guys entering the night, and it was do or die, and it really ended up being anticlimactic, and RJ wrapped it up easily.
They do say,
yes, and yeah, they did hit that a little. They hit that a time or two that RJ was going to wrap it up. Did they mention that?
Yeah, the last 10 laps they're talking about how he's going to wrap it up.
Okay.
Oh, hey, RJ jumped the table, Steve. He did it one lap and about died. I missed this the first two times I watched it.
So they did mention, I thought it was weird because, like, okay, so Bailey crashes in the first turn. Bad start, crashes in the first turn, comes around dead last. they did the math where Bailey wins and RJ clinches if he gets fourth or worse, or fourth or better, sorry. And then at some point they said Bailey has to get up to 10th. Otherwise, if RJ wins, Bailey has to get up to 10th. And then Bailey gets 9th and RJ still wins the title?
Yeah. Okay. And he was in, because when he stalled, he lost, what, 2 spots? So he was in 7th. And they kept saying Bailey needs to get one more guy. He needs to get one more guy. But yeah, they really were screwing up the simple math big time on this. I'm not sure if they even knew. But so this was clearly this was a voiceover after the race, right?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. Only because the guy can't tell who gets the whole shot every time. It's just he can only go with a Yamaha rider and 2 Kawasaki riders. Which makes me think they did record it right there in the stadium
that early.
Well, that doesn't mean no, let's not get carried away. That doesn't mean it aired live on TV.
Still impressive cheap. They were commentating as it was happening, because I thought the whole time this was a voiceover.
Yeah,
and I just couldn't understand how they weren't getting the math right. I'm like, you guys already knew this is probably a month after the race.
I think because they were cheap, they're just like, just record it while we're there. We don't have to do anything else. And by the way, if anything screwed up, oh well. But I thought they said 8th. I thought they said Bailey had to get to 8th, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it was early. They changed it a few times. Hey, Steve, you know who would have a big advantage on this track?
Who's that? Doug Henry?
Doug Henry on the 400 would have a massive advantage on the track.
This is Vegas 97 all over. these damn thunder buggies, man. And to be fair, Montreal Supercross for decades had thunder buggies, and the track kind of suffered. So as a Canadian, I can relate to selling out for the thunder buggies.
So were these buggies, obviously they didn't follow the series. These were at select rounds or just Phoenix?
Yeah, I think just Phoenix. Know? Yeah. I don't remember seeing them ever again.
So just the hope that it would sell more tickets. Like if we add, and if anyone's ever watched any of the Mickey Thompson truck races, they're the exact buggies of like their buggy class, same guys, same cars, mm-hmm. same drivers, whatever. Although the announcers call them riders.
We
thought was interesting.
We did get an interview with one of them that said putting them together is like putting together a jigsaw puzzle or something. I'm like, okay.
If they had a red cross on the finish line here, I don't know if there'd be any controversy, because the AMA guy could just raise or lower the scissor lift depending on who's coming by.
by the way, I was looking at the points for the race before Phoenix to tell you that, Seth, and it was Dallas. And it doesn't make sense. I don't know. It says it's 14 points after Bailey wins. So that doesn't make any sense. But
no, the math was, I still don't understand.
Okay, but the point
they're computing.
The main thing I'm taking away from this, though, is it says for the 250 main event, shortly after 11 p.m., the gate dropped. What? This is what we're doing, 11 p.m. main events?
Were they trying to get moisture to come up in the ground?
I don't know. It's just like 11 p.m.? Good God. Who knew? Yeah, who knew that happened?
Wow.
So a couple things that are my favorite part, and I think it's both of yours part in this race, is the mid-main event cutaway to David Stanfield interviewing Big Al from security, the security guy. I don't know. I guess this is sort of like, ha, 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 let's do this. But they interview a security guard. He's like literally, I was waiting for the punchline. Like maybe he's somebody's friend or something. But no, he's just a security guard. His name's Big Al. He says he takes heads and rattles them around if somebody tries to get on the floor without a pass. He says he lets pretty girls go by, no problem. But fat girls and scrawny guys, he sends home. Fat girls and scrawny guys. I'm just like,
hey, that interview had to be scripted, right? There's no way.
No, I don't think it was. I do not think it was. I think they just did this and they just thought it was awesome.
They didn't tell him what to say. You think they let this guy shoot from the hip?
I do. I do think so.
Because that is genius, if so.
this is the 80s, everybody. It was something else with Big Al. And then they just said, you know, are you a fan of Supercross? He's like, no, but Johnson's cool.
He said, I don't know a damn thing about Supercross.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, who gave the okay to interview this guy?
They never explained what his, like, was he security for the event?
I think so. I think he was just a yellow jacketed guy that we see now.
Yeah, he's like Big John is at for nowadays, I think.
I guess so. Except Big John knows some things about it. This guy didn't know a damn thing.
Biggest fans.
I'm with Big Al. He's been here since 7 in the morning. Big Al is in a bad mood. And when it says, what, VIP security, and yes, you don't have a little pass, Al, what do you do to them if they're kind of hassling you?
Get them the hell out of here.
Nat, you like twist their arm or do you
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I take their heads and I roll them around and I just kick them out of here, you know? Get brutal.
Now, where did you learn that? Did you go to a security training school?
Yes, uh-huh. It's a one-day course.
And who teaches that?
I don't know. I forget his name. I wasn't paying attention.
He knocked you around, right?
Yeah, I think he did.
Okay, now, you've got the credentials to knock anybody around. There's been some good-looking girls you've been hassling, and there's been some really scrawny...
I don't hassle the good-looking girls.
You hassle the scrawny little guys with no passes.
Yeah, and the fat girls.
And the fat girls, where do you send them?
Home.
Scrawny guys with no passes, where do you send them?
Home.
Where do you want me?
Oh, you can stay here.
Oh, I thought you were going to send me home. Hey, thanks, Big Al.
Sure.
Doing a great job.
I hope so.
Hey, do you know anything about motocross, supercross?
No, not a damn thing.
Who's your favorite? Do you have a favorite rider?
Johnson. He's been pretty nice, seriously.
Rick Johnson?
Yeah, been real nice.
Good attitude.
Very good.
Hasn't kind of roosted you with dirt or anything.
No, he's been a real good person, seriously.
All right. Big Al's rooting for Rick Johnson. Back to you, Greg.
Big
no,
Al.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Big Al, and then also Al, is it Al Holly? Jim Holly's dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Al Holly says make sure you lube your cables, and he uses WD-40, and that works best.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Al, Al Holly interview with the mechanic. That was great. Jim's dad. Jim was probably busy at this time. Jim was.
Yeah, all I could think about is because they did this in front of his box fan, and all I could think about was Jim's probably in that box fan of some chick that he found at the water park with the camera crew.
Yes, absolutely amazing. So another thing that came up is, I don't know, like, I swear, and I need to do some research on this. I probably should have done this before the pod, but so Burnworth is leading, right? You can hear the crowd roar. And then he's gone, and it's RJ and Dogger, 1-2. So then Cycle News says that Lachine put a hard pass on Burnworth, knocked him down, and it was a little like little dirty. So I swear I remember something about Burnworth getting fined for chasing down Lachine after he knocked him down, like trying to rip him off his bike. And so I texted Scott Burnworth. He doesn't remember anything about it. Then I texted Dogger, and Dogger doesn't remember anything about it either. He said,
That's great.
He goes, I said, hey, was this the race where Burner tried to tackle you? And Lachine said, no, but I tackled Miss Coors, Brutus Beefcake's wife, at Tampa 87. So we've heard that story a few times. So Burnworth and Lachine know nothing about this race.
So That's incredible.
Yeah, and I swear Burnworth got fined for retaliating on this takeout, and I can't figure it out. So I kind of gave up. Yeah.
Yeah, so Burnworth, just to recap here, Burnworth hole shots and is riding, like, pretty good. Like, he's just holding his own up front, correct?
Yeah.
And then they go to, like, wait, let's go back. David Bailey's in last place. And then the next thing you know, Johnson's in the lead, and Lachine's in second. RJ does say... he thanks Ronnie for moving him and himself and Burnworth out of his way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the announcer says he can't come up with the words to describe what happened. He's like, and Burnworth is out. He took himself out. He is out. He's down and out. He couldn't come up with the description that he wanted to use. Probably, maybe he didn't see it. I don't know. He couldn't describe what,
but
was it that horrible? Like,
you can hear the crowd. You can hear the crowd yell. If you listen, you can hear the crowd go, oh, so like something happened.
and also, neither guy remembers.
Nobody remembers. I don't know. If you want to text RJ, Weege, you know, maybe you can. But yeah, Burnworth or Lachine have no memory of anything happening at this race. So
that's how about the flaggers and photographers literally in the track?
Oh, they're everywhere just, back in the day. Yeah.
Just in the track. Yes.
Weege. Our Anaheim 86, Anaheim 86, there's a guy standing with a cigarette in his mouth.
It's a photographer smoking a cigarette standing on the track. Like, he has to plays the cigarette. He's like, how long can I keep this cigarette in my mouth without breathing? Because I got to shoot a photo with two hands. And this is just happening on the track.
And like he's basically in the, he's in three quarters of the camera frame, his face and a cigarette. It's phenomenal. We actually put a photo of it up on social at one point. Yeah, the rules were loose back in the day.
Hey, what is Nip and Denso, by the way?
Spark plugs.
Okay, so they were the title sponsor?
I guess, yeah.
Damn, they mentioned them quite a bit.
Yeah, no.
That was $100,000.
$100,000 over and over. Another part I liked was Lachine is all over. I mean, this is Ronnie's best race of the year, right? He had some personal problems. Problems in the offseason.
Personal problems and still adjusting to the Cowie.
Dogger's all over him. This is after the Big Al interview in the middle of the main. Lachine's all over him still. They go, Ricky's got a comfortable lead. Let's go to the interview of Ricky in the pits. It's like Lachine is 1 second behind him.
Yeah, I noticed that. And when the race was over, I mean, we all know he eventually did pull and win by a little bit. But in his interview, he really, really made it sound like he had no challenge, dominated the main, nobody close to him. Mm-hmm. He really just made it sound like it was a foregone conclusion he was going to win, which maybe he was that confident. But Lachine was on his rear wheel for most of that main event.
Yeah, yeah. Ricky had some really good like pivot turns on the insides, like put the foot down and pivot and go in a straight line. Some really like good corner speed sometimes from RJ.
Yeah, he really did. The one flat left.
Yeah,
he would, like,
yes.
He would
the flat
literally
left.
Turn on a dime and come. He'd always come out far on the far left side of the track, which I don't even know how he got that far left, but it was really fast.
Yeah, no, impressive turns. And then those little sand rollers, singles. Did you think they could double those or no? Just no way.
Oh, where Bailey stalled.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they said Bailey on press day, which I find this hard to believe. They said he tried tripling that section and crash, but they must mean, because it was like the small roller and then it was like two of the sand rollers same height. And then there was the wall at the end. They have to mean triple into the wall, right? There's no way he tried tripling over that.
Yeah, no. It has to be the first three. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know why they weren't going double.
Right?
I don't understand.
Why weren't you just rolling and going rap over?
Yeah, I don't really get that. Yeah, I have way more questions than answers after watching this, and now I really need to sharpen up on my 80s knowledge, because I know all the champions and most of the real important races. But like me and my roommate were watching this today, and he asked if, and I don't know anything about this. Was Larry Wozniak, was he supposed to be on Cowie this year? Does anyone know that?
Larry Wozniak is from another era.
No, that's like 70s.
Yeah.
No, the story goes.
My roommate asked if this was the year that Cowie paid him to stay home. And I have never heard that. Well,
I have not heard that. Definitely not 86. There's no way.
Larry Wozniak, right? Or Wozniak?
Wozniak.
I believe, wasn't the way this was supposed to work that, I mean, it's one of the greatest pickups of all time. Wasn't RJ talking to Cowie, but then when Honda fired Dogger, that opened up a spot for RJ, and then that's why Dogger ended up going to Cowie, and it was like, well, wonder which guy that worked out better for. Wasn't that how?
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
Talking to Cowie?
Yep, I believe so. By the way, Seth, Larry Ross Wozniak raced 70.
82. He was
82. Right. So I don't know.
Yeah. So he's way earlier.
I don't know anything. Your roommate, though, is really impressive with the Wozniak information, though.
Yeah. Cowie paid him to stay home. I've never heard that.
Yeah. This is the worst supercross race ever, honestly. I think it's the worst supercross race I've ever seen.
I mean, it is right there, but yeah.
I might be with you.
Yeah, it really is. The track is horrible. The guys aren't jumping these tables.
It's 1B. It's 1B. Vegas 95 is 1A. This is 1B.
Okay, well.
But that had extenuating circumstances. That was like lights are out, strike.
No. Nope. Has nothing. Nope. Nothing to do with the lights. This is my basis for saying that is because 95. So we're 9 years past this. The tracks were definitely a lot more technical by then. I mean, 95, in my opinion, was pretty real Supercross. And Vegas 95, the dirt was just like this, but they watered. I mean, like, just, I mean, really, really watered. Vegas 95 looked absolutely atrocious. This one here would be like going to like your local night track.
Yeah.
On the West Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't attempt it. I guess that's the difference. They didn't even attempt to make obstacles here. They made it for the buggies. It had no real Supercross obstacles.
Yeah,
and they were actually trying, and it still sucked.
They're both pretty bad. 1A and 1B. Put them whichever order you want.
Absolutely. Lee at Re-Raceables. Email us using the contact form on PulpMX. We'll get you a discount code to save with the folks at Lee at. Thank you to the folks at Guts Racing. PulpMX24 is a code to save. Wait, I think it's Pulp Show 24. Sorry. Pulp Show 24, Guts Racing, seat covers, seat foam, anything to do with seats, they got you covered. Privateers, factory teams using Guts out there, non-slip stuff or whatever, tall seats. They got the extra width seats as well. Thanks to the folks at Guts. Maxxis Tires as well. Could he really use some Maxxis Tires out there for sure? Soft intermediate to hard terrain. They would use the all hard ones at this Phoenix Sun Devil Stadium. Thanks to the folks at Maxxis Tires, great mountain bike tires as well. Some thank you to those guys. Scott and Decal Works, of course, as well. I think the less said about this race, maybe the better.
Did we get a reply from Dogger about what Rollerball said to him or what he said to Rollerball?
Yeah. Said he was a roadblock. So then I just sent angry face emojis back.
So could Rollerball be the Cade Clayson of 86?
Oh.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Oh.
Rollerball podiumed nationals, sir.
Just saying, Dogger looked pretty pissed.
He did. He was. Well, Rollerball, he's like Jim Hawley. He's tough to pass. You know?
I want to – hey, by the way, when Dogger is, as we're saying, all over RJ, and they are not acknowledging that he's right there.
No.
And they keep saying RJ's looking over, and he's trying to see where Bailey is.
Yeah.
See if he can wrap this title. Does anyone think he's looking for Bailey?
No, he's looking – Dogger tried to run in on him in the turn.
Yes, like, over and over.
They said he was counting positions to find where Bailey was.
No, he was looking at Ronnie saying, what the hell?
And then after Bailey stalled it, they said, well, RJ can't count that far back.
And meanwhile, Dogger is like inside him in every corner, and he's looking right at him, and they're like, he's looking for Bailey.
And I'm like, I know. Dude. I love how they acted, too. When Bailey stalled, they acted like it was Doug Henry stalling the 400 four stroke where he just wasn't going to get it started. Like that thing started in one kick. He lost two spots. Like, it just no big deal.
Yeah, it was a rough night, but Big Al, security guy, you know, kind of pulled through for us a little bit.
At least there were no fat chicks there.
No scrawny guys or fat chicks. No.
I have a feeling Big Al and Holly might have been friends.
All right, let's get into the categories. We're going to do a little shorter version of this race, but you guys got to watch this on YouTube. It's on YouTube. Watch it all.
Terrible.
Soak it in. And this is not a re-raceable, but we did it. We did it for you, people. All right. Lee at re-raceable categories. Who really won the race? Seth?
I mean, you got to go RJ, right? Won the title, wrapped up the title, won the race. I don't know how you can't go RJ.
Weege?
I'm going to go Lachine because that was by far his best race. I didn't know he had a race in 86 races close, so good on you, Ronnie.
Yeah, I'll go RJ. I go RJ, too. Who's that guy award? Now, they did do 125s this night, so you can go to 125s if you want, which I think I have to do because I know everybody in the 250 race. Who's that guy award, Lee at Re-Raceables? Seth, what do you got?
Well, I did look at the 125 results. There's a lot of guys in that class that I had no idea. But since I only can find the 250 class on YouTube, the only guy in the main event that I have never heard of finished last place, Scott Manning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, same here. Same here. I looked at
you know who that is, Steve?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
oh,
I've heard of Scott Manning. Yep, I've heard of Scott Manning.
I mean, looking at his vault, he had solid results.
Yep. Yeah, he was a SoCal privateer dude grinding away.
Yeah, this was his last season, 81 to 86. I've never heard of Scott Manning, and I just wanted to. The 125 class, I don't even know where to start. I didn't know half the field. Zip McCray. Well, I mean, you complain about kids' names down in the 50 class, Steve, but yeah. Zip McCray. What kind of name is that?
Weege, go look and see who got 15th in the 125 class.
Yeah, can I make that by Jacob Marsak? Can I do that?
Yeah, we'll get to that. All right, we'll get to that.
Okay, yes. Yeah, and I'm with you on Manning. That is my, who's that guy? 20th in the okay, 250s. So I had not heard of Scott Manning.
I know Manning. He rode Yamahas for a while, but my guy.
15th in the 125 class. I just saw that.
He's do you know who that is?
Yes, he texts me all the time. Yeah, he used to buy all the used bikes for me at Star. He's awesome.
What? Dennis Parker?
Yeah, I know Dennis really well.
He just bought
not really well, but he texts me all the time. I know him pretty well.
He got me tickets to U2 here in Vegas.
Yeah, he's the man. He wants me to come out to and stay in his timeshare for F1 in Vegas.
He is the man. He is.
Yep. Yes. This guy lives in Vegas. Is he a professional gambler? Is that what he is? Does anyone know his deal?
Nobody knows.
No one knows what he does, and I'm not going to ask. No. But
he just has tons of money, and he just keeps hooking me up,
and I won't ask no questions. Yeah. I'm a massive fan.
No. I've had thousands of dollars worth of amazing hotels in Vegas paid for or covered by this guy. I don't even know. He's handed me cash after checking me into these hotels. I didn't even know he raced at this level. He told me he raced, and then I was looking through stats with our stat guy, Clinton Fowler, at the races, and I literally saw, I'm like, wait, Dennis Parker. So I screenshot it. I sent it to him, like, do you used to race Supercross? And he's like, yeah, man. And I'm like, what?
I heard on 80s, he was like the guy, like on 80s.
Really?
Wow.
Yes, like Jimmy Gaddis type of stuff, like Buddy Antonez, like a dominant 80 rider.
So if someone off the street met him and and heard his story, like it's one of those guys that if you don't know him, you meet him, you're like, this guy's full of shit. Like there's no way. And dude, all of his stories check out. All of them.
Thank you.
He is just the man.
He got me U2 tickets at the Sphere twice. He bought Kiefer's Alta. He's just a man of hookups.
Yeah, I texted Kiefer because remember Kiefer thought he was going to bail. Kiefer thought he wasn't for real. I texted Kiefer. I'm like, no, dude, Dennis is legit. He's the man.
Yeah.
Sure enough, week later, bought it.
Yep, absolutely. So my Who's That Guy award is Brian Bruner. And never heard of him.
It's got to be Buddy Bruner's dad. Got to be.
Who's Buddy Bruner?
Buddy Bruner was a fast amateur, and then he did some national. I raced against Buddy Bruner from Arizona. It's either his dad or his uncle.
So
has to be.
This guy got a fifth that night. Good job. Hometown race. But he's also got a seventh, a couple of sevenths, a ninth, a couple of top tens. Like, how do I've never heard of Brian Bruner before when he's got like five top tens out of like 12 career races?
How have you never heard of Buddy Bruner?
I never heard of Buddy Bruner.
Buddy Bruner was good, man. He was good.
Weege, Buddy Bruner?
Got nothing.
See?
Really? He was like the Rhett Urseth crew, like that Arizona, trying to think who else. Ty Haynes. No, Ty Haynes was California. I feel like you should know Buddy Bruner. He was good.
Larry Brooks is listed as South Pasadena. I didn't know there was a South Pasadena. I thought it was just Pasadena. So I'll have to ask Brooks about that.
Also, Todd Campbell, was that the 85 champ?
Yeah. Yeah.
So going to Paula in 2021, I think it was 2021, I rode with Will, and Will said, hey, my neighbor's going to ride with us if you don't mind. I'm like, yeah, that's fine, dude, whatever. And his neighbor was Todd Campbell.
Yeah, and I worked with Jerry, his brother. Jerry was Chicken's mechanic and then Lamps' mechanic.
Oh, Jerry Campbell's Todd's brother?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I never put two and two together.
Right, yeah. Lit Kid Award? I mean, for me, there's no doubt on this one. Zero doubt. Lauren Lachine's green and blue JT gear absolutely kills it.
Dude, are you shitting me?
Looks awesome. And I will not hear anything else.
I'm going to let Weege go because I know what Weege is going to say. I'm not going to steal Weege's because
everybody knows what the real answer is. But for the same reason I didn't want to pick RJ as who really won the race, I just want to mix it up. The best gear by far is RJ's Fox. You can't even argue this. It's not even arguable. The one side red, one side blue pants, and a white jersey that somehow looks amazing, even though it's just a white jersey with logos.
Yeah.
But no, RJ, yeah, that's the winner, right, Seth?
It is. I mean, if someone on this call didn't say RJ, you need your eyes checked. So since you said it, I'll go Bailey. That JT stuff is sick. And just when I was a kid when I was racing, I was a teenager. One Industries did this replica helmet that was sick. I'll say Bailey just because of that, but RJ has to be the winner of this.
No.
I do want to say, I hate all JT gear. It all looks bad. This is the only, Lachine's kit is the only JT gear I thought looked good. So it's the only time it's even been in the running. Like, if RJ hadn't worn that.
Really? You don't like Bailey's?
No. I don't like
Dude,
any
Bailey's
of
is way better than Lachine's here.
Lachine's, like, JT didn't try to do anything crazy. They just made green and white gear. Thank you. Thank you. No gimmicks. It looked good. I mean,
this thing's still playing. Osho tried parking Lease twice.
Yeah.
He was not happy with Lease.
Lease.
But anyway,
Lease did really well. Yeah, fifth place.
Yeah, he did. RJ's gear here is very similar to McGrath 99 Washougal. He just looks like he's dropped straight from space compared to everybody else. Just way, way far ahead.
Second Loose has almost a full size photo of Bruner, our guy Bruner, leading the winner of the 125s, which is Willie Surratt. So
yeah, Bruner's got to be Buddy's uncle or dad. Has to be.
Shit Kid Award, Weege.
I actually was gonna go with Leesk there.
Yeah, it's not good.
I didn't know about 3-digit Leesk, but I guess he had to be at some point.
So just from his little moonlighting he did in '86, he got a factory Yamaha ride in '87. He had some decent races, but nothing great. But Yamaha gave him a full factory ride in '87. You know, so not too bad.
Yeah, based on races like this, I guess.
Yeah, exactly right. Shit Kid, I'm going to go. You went with Lease. That's a good one. I'll go with Burnworth. I liked Burnworth's black setup from 86 Anaheim 1. I liked that one, but I didn't like with this Hallman basic generic crap. So
I like how they also made fun of him for changing his colors. Like, he's not allowed to wear different gear colors in different rounds. Is that not allowed or something?
Yeah, I think you guys are going to be surprised with this, but I thought this far back it'd be way harder to find a lit kit than a shit kit, but I seriously couldn't find anything I hated. I think everyone I see on this recording anyway, all the gear looks pretty good. Okay. And I've heard you say, Weebs, that 80s is the pinnacle for gear, and I'm actually going to agree with you. So the only thing I could find I didn't like is, I'm going to go with you, Steve Burnworth. I did, the chest protector is massive. It covers his, goes all the way down to his knees, it looks like. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go Burnworth. But honestly, nothing looks shitty.
I just texted you a photo of Storbeck's numbers. Look on the group text.
Whoa, are they marker?
I don't know. That might be shit Maybe? Kit right there, that number, oh. That number font. Like, what is that?
Yeah, it's number font, but dude, that jersey is dope. Like, I'd wear that jersey today.
I know. I just meant the numbers.
Yeah, numbers are pretty atrocious.
That's Axo stuff. It looked pretty good back then.
And I got one other thing. This reminded me. In most of 86, RJ ran this really cool, very unique number 5 font, but he does not have it at this race.
No, you're right. Yep. Weird, right? He also ran upside down forks at times, and other times conventionals in 86. It was weird.
Yeah, he said they were way too hard to run. Like, he was the only guy strong enough to hold on to the upside downs first set. They were just so freaking rigid.
Okay. Where's JT? What is he? He's
about 7 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, 7 years old, 8 years old in Florida, probably scoring races, running sheets back and forth. Jacob Marsak Award. Yeah. Dennis Parker is a good one, for reasons we just talked about. He's heavy D. He's a legend here in Vegas. I'll go with Lease getting fifth. Now, in 88, Lease would have been in 88 after the end of the 88 season. He was factory Honda and he would have been number 4, I think. And he went to Europe, like, just was like, nah, I want to go ride 500 GPs. So in 88, Lease was legit. But if you told me he got fifth in premier class in 86, I would have said, nah. So good job, Jeff Leafs.
Yeah, but Leafs unfortunately becomes the footnote of history of that was Stanton's ride the year before, and he wasn't Stanton's level. So he's the one guy who Honda stuck on a 250 500 and did not crush it.
Yeah, true. Yep.
I hate to do that to him. But, like, we had Six Time on here, and he's like, no, it wasn't just a bike. He's like, look at guys like Leesk. And that was pretty much the only example we could come up with.
But Leesk was
got a Honda and just start winning all the time.
But Leesk did step onto the podium on a Honda. Like, yeah, I don't know. But I'll go Leesk fifth. Weege, Dennis Parker. What do you got, Jacob Marsak Award, Seth?
I'm going to go Keith Bowen. I was looking at his vault, and I believe that's his best 250 Supercross finish. He had really good finishes outdoors, especially on the 500. But 250 Supercross, I'm not finding. Oh, he did get a fourth in 87.
Yeah,
he's got one fourth.
He's had better results for sure.
Bowen was good.
Outdoors. Yeah, he won some nationals, but in 250 Supercross, look at his vault. He has not that many better results than that. And I didn't realize he was that good. I mean, I know who he is from Michigan, Yamaha guy forever. Even his brother raced for a while. He was pretty good, but I didn't realize he was at that high of a level in Supercross.
So he was, and this is you probably wouldn't know this, and not many people might remember this, but I do because Bob Oliver was his mechanic at Yamaha in 1987. And Oliver told me a few times about the story. 87 Daytona, the race Ricky Ryan won in the mud.
Yep.
Bowen was gone. Gone. With two laps to go, he got a rock stuck in his countershaft in the bike, DNF. He would have won Daytona. Yeah.
So I'm on his vault here. Do you remember him, firstly, riding a KTM in 91? And then 97, he rode a KTM. He did he did Gatorback in Daytona 97 on a KTM. And then in 98, he did three pro races on a Suzuki. Does anybody remember that?
Yep, I do. It was kind of like, yeah, we were like, what the hell's going on? Did you also know that he was Justin Brayton's mechanic?
I did actually. I think one of you have told me this.
Okay.
Before.
Yeah. 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 He was a mechanic for a long time.
Told me this.
Yeah. Yep. Keith Bowen. He was around forever. He did 500 GPs at one point.
He turned pro in 83, and then he did in 98. He raced a national. He had to be up there.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
He rents for someone else too, though.
Yeah. He rents for a bunch of guys. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't JD.
I think Roncada, maybe? Roncada Moto World? Like old Roncada?
Yeah. Yeah, he was around.
It was on one of these that we talked about it.
They had a hard time keeping Keith sort of on a straight and narrow.
Yeah, he was having a good time.
By the way, Lachine just texted me again. I asked about the tackling thing. Burnworth tackling him, but he said, he turned this into, I never tried to tackle RJ when he was riding. You must be thinking of CMC Golden State at Atlanta when I had him arrested. So that was when RJ punched him, like in a van or something.
Oh, it's legends.
Yeah.
So he does not remember the Burnworth incident.
No.
But he remembers rollerball being a roadblock.
Yeah. And Burnworth doesn't remember the Burnworth incident and anything. So, yeah, good times. All right, Weege, you got to go. I think you jumped off.
I guess
I'm already gone.
Oh, okay.
I'm already gone.
Thank you. I thought you did an Irish goodbye, Weege.
I'm already gone.
All right. Re-raceables, Leah. Thanks, Weege.
See you guys.
All right. Rarick.
Thanks, guys.
And Rarick, we'll wrap up with that. Leah, re-raceables. Phoenix 86. I'm glad you watched it, Seth. Weege and I have talked about this race a few times, but bringing you on board and then having you experience it, that's great. That's fantastic. Your text
has
been great.
Yeah, you guys you've kind of opened up Pandora's box for me because 90s, I know pretty much everything.
Yep.
And 80s, I really just know the highlights of the 80s.
Yep.
But after watching this, I'm really diving deep into the likes of Eric Eaton and Mike Beyer, Burnworth, you know, Scott, guys like that. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely opened up a rabbit hole for me. I'm going to be watching a lot of 80s for the next couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, you need to get into that. Maybe we'll do another one as well. Thanks to the folks at Leah. Thanks to Decal Works, Guts, Scott, Maxis, all on board with us. Phoenix 86, soak it in, everybody. Appreciate it. All right, Seth, thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, Dave. See you guys.